Welcome to our weekly Q&A show, where we answer submitted questions live on YouTube on Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to the live Q&A show that we do almost every Tuesday at 2 p.m. And the point of the show is to answer questions I've received during the week live on air so that I can answer and other people out there who are knowledgeable, which there's a bunch of you, can help either answer live or in the comments later. I've had some great answers to questions put in the comments. And also, if you have questions, just throw them in the chat right now. We'll get to the questions. Sean has a comment I'll address in a minute. If you all want to ask questions, that's what we'll do here for the next 10 minutes to 2 hours, however long it takes. We have three pretty quick questions today. So I'm going to kind of get busy. The first one is, how do you mount your GoPro? I just bought a Hero 10 and I'm looking to mount it on my boat. And it kind of depends on your boat. Is it a raft, a kayak, a paddle boat, a gear boat, a big gear boat? It's a vague question. I'm going to assume it's an oar boat. I'm going to assume that. And so I have what I use here. I actually just did a YouTube video about this too. I get this question all the time. I buy this little mount from Amazon. And if you go to Amazon and search for handlebar mount, this particular one is really good. It has a little, let me see if you can see it. There's like that little logo on it. It's kind of weird. Maybe that's not the logo. But there's Sky JFFJ. If you look, I just did a video about this. Let's find this video if we can. Mount. See if it comes up in Google. GoPro to raft. Okay. So this is a video I did a long time ago that came up early, which is a good video. I just did another video. Oh, right here. Boom. So this is the one that I just did.
Lowe's knows the best pros.
Demand the best.
Oh, ads.
That's why great. Lowe's is bringing you the largest in-store.
All right. In this episode, I'm going to talk about how I attach. So if you find this, let me see if I can go to YouTube. There we go.
In this episode, I'm going to talk.
If you can find this YouTube video, this describes what I do really well. And there's a link down below, which I forgot to mention when I did the video, but I have an Amazon link. I get some commission. So I get like a dollar. No, probably not a dollar, but I make some cash if you use that link. If you don't want to use that link, fine, doesn't matter. But it supports the show. And I've tried a bunch of different handlebar mounts. This is the mount I like the most. And the reason I like it so much is because it attaches to a paddle really easily. And I'm a big fan of like, get this mount and attach it to a paddle. This is a sup paddle that I have because it's longer. Longer is kind of nice. And this is an adjustable one, so I can push this out farther if I want this to be even farther. So once it's on this, it's just like a really expensive selfie stick. And I can just jam this in something in the boat. If it has thwarts, if it's an empty gear boat, I shove it under a thwart and then tie this to a back D-ring. If it's a gear boat, I'll put it more vertical in between the gear and the back of the raft, the stern, and then just use some camera straps to tie it in. But the paddle's nice because we have them and it's a multiple use thing. If you need a paddle, you just take the GoPro off this and you have a paddle. So, and if you're traveling overseas, you don't have to bring the paddle. You don't have to bring the whole thing with you. You just bring the mount and then you find a paddle when you're over. You borrow one or whatever. So I think it's a really effective way to go. I've broken one of these in the past. They are breakable, but for how much I've hit them, I haven't broken as many as I would think. The things I don't like about this is it kind of, you can see I've used channel locks to tighten this. That's why it's all silver. There's a tool that comes with that I drop in the river sometimes. And so I don't always have them. You can just a perfect tool to tighten. You can't hand tighten these or just get some, have a wrench and just tighten them down. But this is what I do. Works great. I think it's simple. It's elegant. It's inexpensive. This mount's like 15, 20 bucks and it works awesome. So hopefully I answered that question. And before we go to the next one, I'm going to do a little commercial for something I just did. We have a sponsor of the show, GoRafting.com. I've been working with them. So Go Rafting, let's go to here. And GoRafting.com. They sponsor the show. We really appreciate them. They make guides for rivers. They make for an app. You get this app called Far Out. Far Out. And you can download the Middle Fork of the Salmon, and it has a mile-by-mile guide, and it's really well done. The maps are done by river people who know what they're doing. I was really impressed. And I think one issue, those of you that do the Illinois River, is that there's not a good Illinois map. like the one Illinois map. Do I have it here? There's a book. I guess I don't have it here with me now. There's a book like 30, 40 years old. That if you try to buy it online, it's like $800 now. They just don't exist. And there's websites that have descriptions, but there's no good maps. And so I just helped them do a map of the Illinois. It's going to come out soon. And so there'll be this app that you can bring with you on the river. The descriptions on here, these things, I wrote all of these. So the you could just print this out and bring it with you. The beautiful thing about the app is that it'll tell you where you are. It'll be like when you're a mile 4.3, it'll list everything ahead of you. And in it'll say you're here. This is what's coming up. It's, or if you want to know how far it is to like a camp, it's like that camp is 10 miles away. So it's really cool. And I added a bunch of photos. There's tons of photos that you can download onto your phone that you have with you to go, oh, I'm looking for that when I get to that spot. Or it has rapids at different flows. So anyway, I did this map for these guys that go rafting. They're really cool guys. But I also, I've been working on this project for a while. This sort of prompted me to finish my own guidebook to the Illinois River I've been working on. And so on riverhardware.com, you can buy my guide's guide to the Illinois River. This is intended to be a guide for other river guides. Like when somebody wants to guide the Illinois, this is where they get information. And so it's 10 bucks. It's a PDF. And it's got a mile-by-mile guide that has a lot of information. It's different information that's on the app. The app, I wrote these differently, separately. It's not like I just copied one over. They're different descriptions, a little different style. This one's a little bit more in-depth, I would say. It's more in-depth, yep. And it had like evac information and just an intro about why the Illinois is special and about wilderness protections and leave no trace and blah, blah, blah. I think it's like 12, 15 pages long. So anyway, if anybody's looking for a guide to the Illinois, this is my best attempt to put something out there for the public. But also I'm really stoked to have GoRafting.com publish that one too. That way, those of you that do the Illinois River have some sort of reference material that's not $800. Okay. So there's some comments on this. I need that Illy map. Yeah. So their map is on the app. I didn't make a map. Mine is not a map. Mine's a guidebook. There's no map associated with it. It's more of a mile-by-mile guide. A map would be interesting to do a map with it too. I should add a map to it someday. But it's more of a description. I've dropped a bunch of pins on Google Maps and use a distance tool. That's pretty lame. So yeah, on Google Earth or Google Maps, you can map the Illinois and figure out distances and how far things are. But I've added all the places I think are really interesting stops. There's like one spot on the river you can see Calmeopsis flowers. It's a really rare flower. It's actually that front of the page is that spot. That's Calmeopsis lichiana, the rare plant right there with the river in the background. So I've labeled this spot in terms of mileage so others can find it. It's not just a few of us and know where the secret spot is, where there's some cabins that are really hard to get to. But at least if you want to, you know, see some of the cool history and a bunch of the camps, I've labeled a bunch of the key camps that people use a lot because I don't think people understand that camps is great. And I think of most groups on the Illinois once they get past Collier Creek and are done with the rapids, they usually power out and they're done. But the lower canyon is really cool. And I highly recommend spending one more night in there and enjoying that canyon. There's great camps down there. So a little more information about that. Okay, let's get to this, some other questions. So this is self-promotional. This is a commercial for something I did, this map that I'm super excited about. And I hope you guys are too. Okay, back to the questions. We answered that one. Hopefully I did that one well. When setting up cataract tubes, do you want them straight up and down, or is there a benefit to having them rotated out or in? So the question is, like, some tubes, especially the Legends, have like little pointy noses. I think that's the question. Does it make sense to have them kind of tilted in or tilted out, or is up and down the best? I don't, honestly, in my opinion, it doesn't matter that much. You could have one tilted in, one tilted out. Like, I don't care. Like, it rows about the same. I would say, in my opinion, straight up is the way I would go. I think it looks cooler too. It tilted out would look weird. Tilted in would look weird. But if you give me one tilted out, one tilted in, one straight, one not, I would just be like, cool, it's a boat. Let's go boating. I know I have friends, though, who obsess over their tubes being exactly, perfectly everything. It's not a bad idea. but it's not something that I even think about that much or stress about. So my answer would be straight up or down, or it doesn't really matter. Whatever looks cooler. All right, next question. I think this is the last one. I want to ask Zach how to add descriptions to Whitewater Guide. Yeah, like the support. That's super nice. Wow, that's nice. Yeah, these descriptions are a lot of work. And so what he's referring to is on Whitewater Guidebook, which is the website I've worked on for a while with information, there's a bunch of descriptions of rivers from around the world. I mean, Whitewater Guidebook has the best Bhutan guidebook. I mean, I have all these descriptions of Bhutan. There's no better resource for kayaking and rafting in Bhutan. But also, like, a bunch of good stuff in California. I have Oregon, just done a lot of stuff in Oregon. And there are descriptions I've worked on, friends have worked on, and we're really proud of them. They're not – this isn't a guide. You could use this to help you get down the river, but I wouldn't – like, the guidebook I wrote for the Illinois has way more information. This is more like, hey, here's the basics. Like, figure the rest out on your own. We're not telling people how to run the river. We don't – as a point, I don't try not to tell people how to run rapids. Like, here's a rapid. Figure it out. Here's where it is. I might say there's a dangerous thing on the right. I might point out dangers, but I rarely, hopefully ever say start right, go left. You know, because it depends on river flow. It depends on your craft. It depends on maybe it changed because of a landslide. So I try not to tell people how to run things, just that they exist in some interesting information. This is probably the most recent one I did, actually, of the Upper North Fork John Day. And anyway, if you want to add to this, the only thing is I have to be careful that we're adding good information. And when I don't know people, it's hard to just like put their stuff up, because you could be adding wrong information or incompetent information, and then it's a disservice. So my suggestion would be like, send me one, just do one, just do all, get all the information. You know, it goes here, you know, it's like this. Oh, let me go back to it. You know, the basic information here, short little warm-up introduction, and then just like kind of mile by mile, the highlights. Doesn't have to be, it specifically says highlights. It's not every detail of information. It's not how to run the river. It's like, hey, here's some cool highlights. Sorry. Some rivers I've done pretty like heavy duty descriptions. Some of I've left them really vague. Like, here's one, Diamond Creek, this rarely run creek in California. You know, just boom. Here, this, and actually I took this from some other thing I wrote a long time ago. Or I wonder if Goose Creek is the same. Yeah, just some basic stuff. This doesn't even have any mile by mile. It's like, hey, if you want to do it, here's some information I have to share with you. The Cal Salmon, like, an amazing trip. This is the highlights. There's a lot more I could put in here mile by mile. This is just a basic what to expect. If you want more information, go somewhere else. Go find a really detailed online source or books. There's so many good books. And at the bottom, we usually recommend, let's go to like the Middle Fork. And the Middle Fork it could be way more complete. This has been a big project. I add stuff every year to make it a little bit better. This is not a complete guide by any means, the Middle Fork. But I have a lot of recommended books at the bottom. So if there's a relevant book or a guidebook, you know, this is the map. You could go to Amazon and buy the map. And we get a few cents if you click that thing. Whoa, $349. Well, I should switch that link, because that's the old edition. There's newer editions that cost less. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I better fix that link. It's a good thing we checked. Okay, so anyway, going back, what was the question? Add descriptions. Yeah, it's just if you want to, please send it to me. I'm going to just double check some things, like cross-reference, make sure that you're not purposefully misleading people. And if we develop a relationship, I'd love to have more. I mean, I'm really proud to share as much information as I can with people that go boating, but I have to make sure it's super solid. Okay, so let's see. Let's get to some of these comments. I had a big issue with losing the ball and other parts of my clavy pins and clips in the pit. Sean, come on. Really? I plan to try to put a metal sleeve on an NRS pin. All right, so let's remind ourselves what an NRS pin is. NRS pin. I'm going to Google this. And clips. Just so we're on the same, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm talking about. You're saying an NRS pin is this one. I am not a huge fan of these. I can't remember why. They're not. Well, first of all of these like weird plastic spacers are wrong. There's something. This setup is bad. All those spacers are weird. They can be done well. I have one right here. And they can be done well. This one, it's just not what I'm used to, and so I'm a little opposed to it. But with the ball on top, Sean's saying, you know, the problem with this setup, and this is the way I like to go, is if this ball comes unscrewed, it pops off, and you're in trouble. Your ore pops out, you lose all this stuff in here, it causes mayhem. So those of you that row these a lot, you know to tighten your balls a lot. Like I check mine by Big Rapids, but I also, I'm sure you can see, I have a lock nut. You can see that lock nut? And ever since I put the lock nuts in there, I've never had a problem. Or you could get like lock tight stuff, like a spray with something that stays in. So I'd go with a lock nut. I like the simplicity of these. They're clean, they're nice. These ones, I don't know, I'm not a big fan, but I can't remember why. I know Aaron and I argued about these a bunch. The one thing I'll say for sure is don't use these flimsy things. These, your ore will just fall down and be in the way. You want a nice hard plastic sleeve. Either way you go. Any thoughts about using a metal sleeve with an NRS pin? I have no idea. The Clavey pin was way too unreliable despite lock washers. Oh, you did use lock washers and Loctite. Sean, I've never really a metal sleeve with an NRS pin. I mean, it might work. The sizing might be different looking at them, but I have no thoughts. I just think like you just check them every so often. I mean, especially about Big Rapids. But yeah. Okay. Have you ever done a post-season trip on the subway? I have not. Looking at doing a self-support IK trip and thought it'd be a good way to see a hard to get river. Similar wrecks for IK trips. What do you mean wrecks? So your first question is, have you ever done it? No. Similar wrecks for IK trips. I'm not sure what you mean by asking. Like similar. By wrecks, do you mean recommendations? And similar to what? So if you give me, I'll answer the question. I just don't exactly sure what you're asking here. But I know people have done it. Sounds awesome. Sounds like a great time to go. I think it's like August 4th. You don't need a permit. You need a permit, but it's not like a lottery permit, somewhere around there. And the first day of it sounds like it gets pretty busy because everybody's doing the same thing. So wait a couple days so it's not as busy doing that. But I love IK trips, so I'm a fan. Sounds awesome. Thoughts on running a raft with thwarts without a floor with the creek frame? Kind of like a poor man's cat. Yeah, you know, I've thought about this a lot. I've wondered about this a lot. I think there's a problem. It has been done for sure. I've seen it done. You find rafts all the time with bad floors and lace it and run it. I think it's going to be harder than you think to keep its rigidity sideways. I also think you'll fall in, and the same thing with the cat. Like a cat, you fall in, but like it's a raft. And so I just think there's a lot of opportunities to fall in. Or like when you get to shore, how do you get from the frame to shore? Do you climb along the tubes? I hope you don't fall in. I think eddying, like trying to get out of the boat or into the boat is going to be problematic. But I mean, could be a sweet poor man's cat. I mean, a poor man's cat is an RMR cat. So I just get like an RMR, like just one of the cheaper cats that are made from PVC overseas. That's a poor man's cat. A used RMR. That's the poor man's cat. Okay. Also had this question. Was thinking about riding up something for their pre-yawk. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, if you did. I think I did a lower yawk. A ride up when I went out there. But the upper was too low, so we didn't get to do it. Googling it right now. I wish I'd got to do the upper yawk. Or guide. Yeah, there it is. Added in the thing. Yeah, I did this when I was out there. I did this lower yawk thing. it's a fun project for me. Like, I've only ran the Lower Yauk 3 times, but it gave enough time for me to like learn some information, talk to the locals, get some photos. It was fun to do. But yeah, having an Upper Yauk would be sweet. And if you want to do it, same thing. Like, I just have to like trust people are making, you know, give me good information. And but it'd be fun to have more bait out there. Another great place if you guys want to help is American Whitewater. They have river descriptions that are great. You can become an editor. I'm an editor for a few. That's another way to like share information if you wanted to. I think the Whitewater Guidebook is different than AW in that I think it's just a project I've worked on for a long time. I try to make it more stylistically pleasing. Like, it just looks better. And I think that it's less about how to run the rapids and more about what the river's like. And it has a nice, and I like the format. I think the format's nice. Okay, back to piggyback on the subway question. What minimum flow would you recommend for a subway minimum IK flow? I've only 0.85. I mean, yes, I've only done a subway once. So I'm the wrong person to ask. 0.85 sounds really low, but I don't know what that means. What minimum flow would you recommend for a subway minimum IK flow? I mean, Matt, I will go low water. I mean, I've run the lower Chetco at 90 CFS, and that's 90 CFS downstream. So I know these rivers can go low. I don't mind getting out walking, but I've only done the subway once, like 4 feet, so I don't have enough beta. Recommendations for IK trips on post, pre, oh, Colton, dude, you are speaking my language. I have a lot of recommendations. I think IK trips are the most underutilized type of trip that exists. I mean, Middle Fork of the Salmon, like, it's probably still permit season now. I don't know. The Middle Fork in an IK is awesome. If you can pick up a permit, I mean, I think more people, if you could pick up a permit on the Middle Fork, I did this once. We did it commercially. We did an IK trip commercially from Boundary to Thomas, the first 35 miles, and flew out. It was an amazing low water trip. There's nobody up there. We did it September. You know, even if you don't do the whole Middle Fork, you just do like a 4-day on the upper section or start at the Flying Bee and do the last 3 days just for a quick one. I think the Middle Fork's a great one. The Main Salmon, which has plenty of water in Idaho. The Rogue is, of course, a classic. Illinois, Matt can speak to Illinois. Like, people ducky Illinois at low water. I don't know how low it can be done, but I've heard it's been done pretty low. If you portage if you have to portage like 2 or 3 rapids, including Greenwall, you can run the Illinois pretty low postseason. Even in July, it gets low in July, and it's a great low water ducky trip. I think the Tuolumne in a ducky at low water is a cool trip. Let's look at a couple of my favorites here. I'm assuming you mean overnight trip, so I'm gonna just talk about those. I think there's some cool ducky trips on headwaters of Rough and Ready Creek preseason. I mean, in the whole Kalmiopsis, there's, you know, Rough and Ready Creek, Josephine Creek. The Chetco is like an obvious one. There's the Wilderness Chetco, which is a spring trip, which is one of the best trips of all time. It's just a 10-mile hike in. But the one that people don't do enough and is the Lower Chetco Gorge. And you can drive to put in, drive to take out. I've run this as low as 90 CFS as a multi-day, a 3-day trip. And this is a stunning, look at that photo. I mean, this is a stunning place. It's a beautiful water. In this photo here, there's a campground on the right, that the Big Sandy Beach is a classic campground. That's that campground. It's just a beautiful campground. Great swimming there. You know, beautiful geology. A couple tricky rapids. Alan, I mean, it's not a picnic. It's definitely 4+. Radiolarian, Sieve, which this is a portage. This is a straight up portage. And so is probably Conehead. You can run parts of these rapids, but I mean, this is the Lower Chetco is just it's an amazing trip. And it's like the Upper Chetco's little brother that nobody runs, but I'd highly recommend that, especially if you like rapids. I mean, there's legit rapids in there, and there's some civvy stuff, and you gotta be solid class 4 to think about that. North Fork of the Smith. Oh, this is Upper North Fork, but like lower the part in California. We'll get to California in a second. North Fork Crooked in the spring. This is one I haven't done. I went to go do, and it was too low, so we just like hiked along and got some photos. But this is one that's on my list. It's supposed to be awesome. North Fork John Day. The upper section that we did this spring, this section is like solid class four. And the first 2 miles is like pretty full on. But if you can, if you don't mind full on and logs and stuff, this is a good trip. I know a lot of people love the lower part, which I haven't done. This part, the Dale of Monument, is like, it's like class two plus three, 45 mile trip. The upper Metolius is a continuous 10 mile trip that can be an overnight. The Oahe, all the Oahes, just, I mean, if you want some adventure, upper North Fork of the Oahe, which is like a 2 day trip that nobody ever does. It's hard to catch enough water on the upper North Fork, but like East Fork, South Fork. The Wenaha is a hiking trip. This is a 5 mile hiking and something you can do kind of all summer long, actually. It's low water, but you know, or you can go when there's water in there. The Wenaha is a classic. Ibnaha is interesting. Grand Ronde, of course. So those are some that come to mind. And then California, let's see if anything catches my eye in California. They're like, I don't know why more people are not doing overnight trips on North Fork of the Smith. It's just, this is a remarkably beautiful place. And we all raft it. You can see us, like, oh, we're rafting it, but it's always freezing cold in like February or March. I mean, a July overnight on North Fork of the Smith would be so cool. I mean, one of the most beautiful rivers in the world. And all this stuff in the Smith, Diamond Creek, you can ducky a lot of this stuff, but this is mostly on the Smith day trip stuff. Redwood Creek is a cool overnight with the portage. That could be a cool overnight ducky trip. Little Fork of the Feather is pretty hard. If you want to push yourself, Forks of the Kern, which is like three class fives and like 40 class fours. Yeah, there's just like so many things. The Trinity below Burnt Ranch Gorge has a section I've never done, but it would be awesome in duckies. Yeah, that's just a start. There's a lot of places to go. There's a lot of rivers that people don't talk about. And another great resource is Bill Tuttle's website, cacreeks.com. He's a California boater who'd mainly duckies, but he's done trips everywhere. And so he did it. I mean, he did a really cool, this is a cool trip. They did like a 5 or 6 day trip on the roadside section of the South Fork of the Payette. They just started really high and they couldn't get any permits. So they just did the North Fork of the Payette for 5 or 6 days or whatever it was. And I mean, this would be an awesome trip. It's roadside, but you don't have to carry your gear. So, I mean, now it's a creative idea. But on CA Creeks, he has all kinds of cool ideas. And I would go to his recommended, and it has it listed by difficulty. I mean, it's mainly California-based, but there's some stuff. There's a bunch. Oh, the Middle Eel is a sweet trip in California and the Coast Range. Check out the Middle Eel. The Dos Rios to Outer Point on the Eel would be a cool trip. Opportunity. I did this run with Bill. I think I did this trip with him. The Opportunity. There's some stuff up there. Of course, the Middle Fork of the Sam and the McLeod. The McLeod below the McLeod Reservoir. Let's see if he has it. This one. Wait, above Shadow. Above this one. Above McLeod Reservoir. I think this is the one. No, this is a cool trip. This is a day trip, but this one, the McLeod, this is one of the best trips I've ever done. Yeah, this is, it only has water once in a while. You have to find one that has water. It's definitely a 2 day trip. It's almost all private land. So there's one specific place you have to camp, but so many really cool ducky rapids, just stunningly beautiful. Mostly read and run for duckies. Like, you wouldn't want a hard shell because he'd pin a bunch, but in a ducky, it'd be great. This is one of my favorite runs of all time. But I would definitely look at through all this stuff. This one, he duckied Woolly Creek. This one's a bit harder. Wow, they duckied Woolly Creek. That's cool. Yeah, hopefully this helps. Wow, some of the stuff here is pretty hard. At Deer Creek, it's pretty hard. Forks the Kern, but hopefully that's some inspiration. All right, Matt, Illinois before 400 down to 100 is a great 5 day trip. Below 250 portage. Yep. Yeah, I think at low water, you could still do the Illinois low water, like 100, but it would start getting scrapey. what the go-to lightweight IK is nowadays. Oh, man. Okay, so, yeah, at the price, I mean, wing boats are, the price got out of control. I don't know what happened, but they're out of control. It's hard to recommend them anymore with the prices. The rafts are $10,000 plus now. And so a ducky for $3,500 is kind of ridiculous. And also Airstop selling the back raft. That was like the go-to boat, the Air back raft. So they don't even have it anymore. Yeah, it's not on their website. So lightweight IK. The Jimbo is 22 pounds. There's something called a Feathercraft. I own some Jimbos and some backcrafts, so I'm not thinking about this, but I think it's called a Feathercraft. Nope, that's not what it is. I might be wrong. Feathercraft folding kayaks. There was something a few years ago. Sotar has some interesting stuff, and Jeremiah is doing a lot of experimenting and prototyping. I would probably, if he has, he made an inflatable kayak. Let's see if we can find here the Stealth. I think this, if the Jimbo is too expensive, which it is, and Air's not making the back raft, that leaves this. I am not a massive fan of this design. It's too pointy for my style. I would do it differently, but it is pretty light. Oh, it's a 15 pounds, and my guess is that it's more durable than the back raft and probably similarly durable as the Jimbo. So I would say this is probably it. Yep. I'd say this is probably it. Or man, the other thing I'm looking at, I think I want to get, not a big fan of pack rafts. Not because I don't like pack rafts, just because I don't think they're a match for the type of boating I do. For like class four stuff, I think that people can do the class four and pack rafts, but the average person can't. And so they're a lot of times just like really expensive inner tubes. But they just came out with one shaped like a hard shell that I'm really want. I think it would be really fun. Let's see, what's it called? The Valkyrie. I like this. One of my issues with the pack rafts is that they're shaped more like an inner tube. This is shaped more like a kayak. And so I'm a fan. And this one like acts like a hard shell kayak. I mean, it looks like a hard shell kayak. It acts like one. This thing is sweet. Of course, it's $2,300. It's not cheap. But for overnight stuff, I would almost put this in the IK range over calling it a pack raft. Hopefully that helps. I guess that's a long way of saying the Sotar Stealth or maybe this Valkyrie, but it is sold out, so can't get it. We did an overnight at the Grotto on the North Fork. Oh, that'd be so sweet. There's no good camps, huh? Yeah, I mean, sleeping in the dark, there's camps. It seems like in the lower, like past halfway on the left, there was just a bunch of big open spots to be awesome for camping. Oh yeah, South Fork Salmon. Yeah, we're getting into like the, depends what you want. If you want the class two, you want like North Fork, lower North Fork John Day. If you want more of the class five, you want South Fork Salmon, Forks of the Kern, stuff like that. If you want the 3-4, it's like the middle fork of the salmon, low water Illinois-ish. It depends on what you want, like the difficulty of river you're looking for. What's your take on Mini Max versus Puna? I don't know. What's up? What's a Mini Max? Which one is Mini Max? Oh, yeah, this one. These are cool. I have two of these. I have one. I just ordered another one. It's like the 10.5-foot raft. I think this is, it depends what you're using it for. We're using these for our rowing schools for instructors. They're small boats. They're easy to pack. They're easy. They're just simple. They're light. I think that Highside invented this genre. And so like people are copying them a lot. Like I think the Air Cub, is the Ayers copy of this boat. Yeah. So they, I think Ayers just took this idea, this like 10 and a half foot boat, and people, the R1 love the Mini Max. They also love this. This is a great R1ing boat. It's, I mean, it's almost the same design, but then you were asking about, Mini Max versus Puma. So Air Puma, which is a different boat. This has been around a lot longer. I like the Puma. I paddled a bunch. I think it's a little more stable than those boats, but it's not 10 and a half feet, is it? How long is this boat? It's 11 foot. Yeah, it's 11 and a half. So it's a foot longer. So it's a different boat. And I've been in a few of these flipping end over end. But that's just my experience. It's a classic. It's a classic. So it depends what you're doing, of course, like all this stuff. You can't go wrong with any of these, whether it's the Mini Max, the Cub, or the Puma. Like, I would say it depends on whose warranty do you like more. So if we're looking at, so the Puma's $4,000. How much was the high side Mini Max? $4,000 for the Puma. Mini Max is $3,300. So the Mini Max costs less. I'm going to say the Air is probably like slightly better quality, made in the US. They have their amazing warranty. Not the high sides are bad. I'm digging high sides. They make good boats. I'd much rather have them over like an RMR or something else. But my intuition and my experience is that the Air is a higher quality boat than the high side, but they're both really good. And Air's warranty is amazing. Like, they back their boats up better than anybody I know. Okay, hopefully that answers that question. I mean, it kind of depends what you're doing. The nice is I was trying to think of that. Where are we here? Nice. That could be another good option, actually. I'm gonna figure out where is the patent one. They have too many things open at once, everyone. So give me a second here. That's where we're at. Okay. Wait, is that where we're at? Okay. Being patient. Nice. Let's try. I've seen these. There we go. I think this is a good option. I think Matt probably hates these because they're pretty close to his, but that one is at least. Where do I see one? Home catalogs. Catalog? Flippable kayaks. You guys are making it hard for us to read to get your stuff. So, haul. Yeah, I mean, this is, for those of you who don't know, like, I designed a boat that called the Sotar ATV that the Jimbo is based on. First, Sotar made it for me. It's called the ATV. And then Sotars were really heavy, and I got to Wing to make a lighter one. That's the Jimbo. I don't think Sotar makes the ATV anymore. You can call them and ask them, but I doubt they do. They might make it. They'll make it for you custom because that's what they do. When I designed the ATV, it doesn't have a lot of rocker. Matt, independently, based on creature craft experience, designed the Ugly Ducky, which is the same. The tubes between the boat I designed, the ATV, and his tubes, same diameter, same distance. Everything's the same. He just put a ton of rocker in there. This is probably in between the two, right? This is not as much. This is more than rocker than I would put in it, but less than Matt would put in it. It's looks like it's made overseas because it has that floor. It is what it is, but I wouldn't call this light. This is 44 pounds. That was the problem with the Sotar ATV, was that was 44 pounds. So if you want to, they're cool. Duckies, $1,200. I mean, come on. How much are your boats? Same, more or less. $1,200 is a good price. I'm not going to say this is high quality because I don't know, and it doesn't look like it just from what I'm seeing. But I, of course, I haven't paddled one, so I shouldn't say that. But then this seems an option. It's just not a lightweight option. So the question earlier is about a lightweight option. South Fork salmon. Really? There's no, you wouldn't call any of that five? We may have a different definition of five. But I've never done it low, so I don't know. But man, what a fun ducky trip that would be. The mini me, yeah. I mean, the mini me was such a cool boat. I wouldn't get in one because I weigh too much. I'd probably sink it. But Yeah. Thoughts on the ballast floor in the air? So this is the last question. So if you have any more questions, get them in because we're about to shut this one down. By ballast floor, I think you mean the floor that takes water into the floor, right? Like it has holes and water gets in the floor. That's the ballast floor. I like it. I think there's a lot of things air has done that is really smart. A lot. They've done some really innovative things. I'm not personally an air. I own a few for rowing schools, but it's not my personal choice. I do like air for R2ing, but in general, it's not like I'm not a fanboy. Let's just put it that way. But I will admit they have done some amazing stuff. And one of them is the ballast floor, which water goes in the floor. And so if you're a guide, you might hate that because you get to take out and you have to let all the air drain out of the floor. And when you're carrying the boat over your head, it like pees on you and it's just heavier. It's just like, as a guide, it's like kind of frustrating. But I think it keeps these boats from flipping. They flip less because for two reasons. One, the floor is heavy, so the center of gravity is lower, so it's harder to get the floor up, the boat up and over. And two, I feel like this is a feeling. This isn't me giving science or information. I feel like there's some suction between the floor and the water based on there being water in the floor. Like they have a hard time separating. This is just me watching them and from experience. So I think that airboats are less likely to flip than any other boat. I said I think that. I don't know that. I just, from my experience and discussions I have with people, I really believe airboats are less likely to flip. And they're good boats. So I do like the ballast floor. For racing, I hate it. So like I have one of my airboats has air can sell you a sealed floor. Like it's the thing they sell. So if you don't want the ballast floor, just ask for the sealed floor. It's going to cost more money. I can't remember how much, a few hundred bucks for the sealed floor. They will sell you that. I just think that for staying in the boat and not flipping, that ballast floor is pretty sweet. So it's a long way. When you ask thoughts on the ballast floor, I think that's cool. I like it. Except when I have to take out and drain the water and then have it pee on me as I'm carrying it up the hill. I'm not like that. I'm not into that. Oh yeah. Cool. Thanks, Tim. Hopefully it's good stuff. It adds suction. Yeah. This is something I've observed. I get it. It makes sense to me. I'm not going to say I've done scientific trials. So if some of you out there are like, no, there's no suction, that's made up. Hey, cool. Maybe it is. I'm pretty confident it adds some suction and it keeps your boat upright. So I'm a believer. And the people I know that are running the most difficult, gnarly stuff in rafts, like the people who are just getting after it being rad as can be, they're almost all exclusively in airs. And that just tells me something. Like it's a good technical boat. It runs rivers really well. And I think that suction floors is a big part of it. I think it's a big part of it. Oh, there we go. We get an engineer. So science. Now it's science. I heard they are much less nimble. Sagebrush, are you saying you've heard that the airboats are much less nimble than some other boat? It's pretty vague. I've heard they are much less nimble. Like, that's it? They're just much less nimble? I don't agree with that. I think that what is nimble? Like nimble means they spin, they turn easier. Like just get rocker. Like if you want a boat that's nimble, that by your definition middle, it just spins easier. You want rocker. Air has a medium amount of rocker. It does great at that. The water are you saying that the ballast floor is less nimble? Maybe because of the suction. Yeah. I'm not sure I understand what your comment is, but I'm going to go back to like, the people running the hardest, gnarliest stuff. We can watch a video. I mean, they're getting after it. They're all running airs. And that really, like, if you're running like class 5+ stuff, you're going to want, I'm Googling something. You're going to want something that is nimble for sure. So I don't know. I'll just pull up something here. Let's go to share the screen again. Hold on, let's go here. It's just like, if you're going to go be as rad as can be. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to run 70 foot. probably an error, which we're playing down. Yeah, like I'm pretty sure these guys are going after the nimble boats. Right? Do you want to? And of course, this is just kind of one of those drops where you just like get in the boat and hold on a little bit, but it's these guys who are doing this that. They're doing way more than just this. Like, this is what tells me, like, air is doing something really good. Right? Like, a stiff boat. Oh, man. I could have flipped there. Yeah. And then you could go down a rabbit hole, I mean, of just getting rad out there. And it's almost always, oh, there's another error. Here's the second one. And again, there's not a ton of skill. I'm not going to say there's not a ton of skill. There's not, I mean, there's some skill in this, but it's like, just line up the top and go over and hold on. If I'm going to do that drop, I'm going to do it in then probably an airboat because the suction floor holds it, keeps them from flipping. And I think they're nimble. I've heard that the airboats are less nimble than other boats, heavier due to the ballast floor and it's more sluggish. Maybe. I don't know. I just like having watched these guys crush hard rapids. Those airboats seem pretty sweet, even with the ballast floor. It's a little heavier. There's just water in the floor, so it's a little heavier boat. So it would be sluggish for that reason. But and I just, if your goal is to get really rad, like class 5 rad, and drop waterfalls and be on Instagram, probably want an air. If your goal is to go out and do an overnight trip, I'm gonna say don't get in there. That's probably not. I don't think airs do really well with oar frames and overnight trips. But you know, for all the different types of uses we have, there's different boats, which is great. Well, team, we did it again. We spent another 47 minutes, 29 seconds answering questions about rafting. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for supporting the channel. Thanks for being here so I'm not just talking to myself. And we'll try to do this. I'll do this next Tuesday. If there's questions, it's, you know, it's October, so questions are becoming in slower. But I'll try to log in next Tuesday and we'll do it again. And yeah, see you next time.